Blog Talk Radio.
This is Ascension and Ananda of Love. I want to welcome you to the Love Channel, and I want to be in deep gratitude to my producer of the show, Iggy Garcia, who encouraged me to kind of get live again, you know, and come to life again, because I've been in hibernation, not meaning to. It's just something that I've chosen to do in this life path, just another dance. And so I just thought that I would kind of ask the spirit I am to come forth and bring forth that which needs to be spoken tonight from me, you know, from it to me, to you. And what I keep hearing is I need you nothing. I need you nothing. And I think that's a really cool concept. I've used it for a very long time, and I had a lot of battles over that in my relationships, because when you're in a male-female relationship, the males think that they need to do in order to please you. They need to give you and dance for you and pay you and feed you and work for you. And so when you say you need to do nothing, they kind of freak out, you know. Are you kidding me? Are you joking? When you were a clown, you know. But I really have lived a life where I need to do nothing. And not that I didn't dance and I didn't cook and I didn't clean and I didn't make love and I didn't design and do all those fancy things, but I never had to. I never ever felt that I needed to do, to have, to or to be, to have. I always just received what was given me and danced with it, you know. And so I, as I shared maybe, I guess the last time I was on the air, I had another gift given to me about a year ago, a gift of plenty from my son, who kind of knew that I was in a little bit of a weird energy and going through a really sad time because of a perceived loss. And he said, "Ma, I want you to have the restaurant that I've created." And I said, "What? Are you kidding?" And he said, "No, really, I need you to come and kind of make it a home, because I'm really having trouble doing it myself. And I'm newly married. I'm preparing to have a baby, and I really think that you could do it." And so I took it on. And that was, I guess, the end of December last year. And it's been a very, very interesting, almost 11 months in time anyway, because I've come to realize that, you know, we never are done in this reality. We really are never done with the lessons. The lessons are ever present if we're conscious enough to accept them and realize that everything that comes to us is for our highest good. And even if it seems like it's not, it is. Because ultimately, in retrospect, when you look back at anything or you look at anything with clear eyes, you see that it's such a gift, you know? Anyway, so that's what I wanted to start with. And I did mention to my little angel, Sabrina, that I was on air, and she was excited, and she was going to call in at some point. And I'm opening that up to everyone, because I really feel a very, very strong sense of peace in my life right now. I feel very detached from the need to have anything. I'm just dancing a dance, as I said, in this experience called a restaurant, where I'm really coming to realize that the Salvation Army was really correct when they said, we'll feed the people first before we fix them, before we help them. And I tell you, it's mind-boggling to watch what love can do in that environment. My food means nothing. My love is what's calling people to my restaurant. And when people come in, they really do feel like they're family. They really are excited to see us because they're realizing that we care. We care about them coming to our place to hang out, to share the love, to share the food, to giggle, to play games, to whatever. And it's, I always thought I needed a spiritual center, and then I came to realize, especially through this experience, that I am the center. That if I am centered, my world is fed on every level. So, anyway, Iggy, do you want to say anything?
No, I'm just enjoying your talk there about, you know, it's kind of funny that you brought that up. You know, you went into the restaurant business at the end of December, and I left the restaurant business in the end of December of last year, which is kind of funny, but, you know.
It's like we played tag. Okay, you're it.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when I was there in Ohio, it's like I knew you were leaving, but I had no idea I was entering that arena, you know. But
yeah,
it's
I had
so
no
weird
either.
How we're interconnected. You know, we don't realize that we're all, and we're just an extension of each other, you know. And
right.
I remember saying that to you, said, oh, my God, I just got out. You're getting there. And I don't know, for me, there's just so much happening because I have my local artists are coming and, you know, doing their deal there. I have all kinds of art all over, which is my passion. I'm right across the street from the Art Council, which is amazing. And now I just hired a little girl who's really going to fulfill my dream to have singing Waiters and Waitresses and comedy
right.
and stuff. So I'm really jazzed. I mean, I'm really feeling like I'm in the right place. And the important thing about all of this is that I really had no idea. Like people say, oh, you got to focus on what you want. No, I never. This is not what I focused on. I focused on just loving and peace within me and sharing with my world. Because unless I stay in that state, there is turmoil in my world. I mean, as soon as I come off this stage where I'm peaceful or in the love nature, it's like I go right back to the conflict, to the opposing side of me. And it's not a pretty place to be because I know that I'm responsible for everything in my world and everything really is contingent upon me to give it the orders, you know. You're loved today. You're creepy today. You're whatever today. And because of my focal point of being in this restaurant now and my daily method of operation, so to speak, I've been so detached from the need to be in a relationship with anyone. And at the same time, I'm taking care of my dad, who's very ill now. In his choice, that's, you know, he's ready, he wants to go. And really feeling peace about all of it, knowing that I need to be good no matter what. No matter what is outside of me, I need to be good because truly my loveness, my goodness, my joyness is what helps heal my world, helps bring my world to a place of peace. So that's where I am right now, and I don't know if I got sidetracked a tiny bit, but basically going back to the idea of I need to do nothing. What do you feel about that, Iggy? Anything come up for you when I say that to you as a male?
It sounds like me.
Okay.
So, just like, you know what I'm saying? When, you know, you're talking, we kind of mirror each other in some aspect about, you know, our personalities to some degree. Right now, I just kind of took the year off, per se, you know, just kind of exploring new adventures and just doing different things and not really planned anything, you know. There's things I would like to do, but I haven't really, I'm kind of like you, just kind of let the love flow and carry me through, and it's been really good, actually. It's been a good ride. It's still a good ride. Still enjoying it.
That's
and
awesome.
I'm just where I need to be at the moment. You know, that's just basic, kind of like where you're at. You know, you just need to be where you're at. And you're, like you said, you're feeding the people love, and I'm feeding people love. And I think that people know that. They know. It doesn't matter what you're doing. They know when you're loving them, when you give them hope, and when you give them, you know, that opportunity to share what's inside of you, just that loving energy, that loving feeling that sometimes it's hard to describe.
I tell you, that's beautiful. I had a experience. My son had to be gone for the day because he's back working with me now, and he's in partnership. It's like, it's your place. Get back here, you know. And so he left for the morning, and it was just me and the girl and the guy that works in the kitchen. And so this couple came in, and they were just, you know, I had the doors open. It was a beautiful day with my bougainvilleas out front and tables outside. And, you know, it's like so welcoming. And they came in. They were like, my God, we didn't even know this was here. Because I do only do word of mouth. I don't advertise because I really believe that, you know, whatever needs to be there is going to be there. So anyway, they were so in love. And the man, and after they were very spiritual, so we were, you know, dancing in our spirituality. And the man had said, we were going to lunch somewhere else, our regular place, but we're definitely not. We're coming back here. So they came back. And my son happened to come back in while they were eating, when they did come back. And they were like, that mother of yours, she needs to be here, you know. Do you understand that she is the Lady of Stewart? She is amazing, you know. And then a guy comes in, and he's beaming. This is a kid that comes also and brings all his family. Like, I'm here. And then another 15 minutes, another kid brings his other friend. He's like, I'm here. And I'm like, I get so excited because I tell my staff, this is your family. If you're not prepared to treat them as such, you can't work here. I'm sorry, but that food has to be pristine because you're feeding your family. You know, the love nature, welcome. How are you? It's so good to see you. And that's not phony. I feel that. You know, I'm feeling blessed. This is my big family that's showing up, you know. And I know you know this because being in your restaurant, I mean, it was like, you know, everybody knows it's the family. Everybody comes because it's Iggy and his family, you know. We're all family. Right. And anyway, so that sense is awesome. It's the sense of knowing that we are exactly where we need to be. And the more that I get this mirror image back of these smiles and the beaming, I'm not taking it personal for ego. I'm just feeling you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. And so anyway, so I do all that, and then I come back to the house, which is completely silent. I have no television, and now my televisions that I had, my dad's TV, is in the restaurant because I do movies on Friday night, so I don't even have the music that I used to play. And I come into the stillness of being, and for hours, there is not a sound in what I call a sanctuary. And I am so good about that. I am so great about that because I feel so much personal satisfaction about my life right now, about being authentically who I am. You know?
Beautiful. That's awesome.
And I think the authenticity is the key to heaven. I really think it is. Because we are all fragments of the one, and we all have a personal blueprint, a personal blueprint that we are to allow to make itself known through us. And when we do that, there is such a sense of personal peace. The Course in Miracles says that the ultimate goal is peace. And, you know, the praying without ceasing, I really believe, is being authentically in one with one with that which you are meant to be in this reality. And, of course, there's zillions of realities. But right here and now, like you said, you are where you're supposed to be. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're not resisting it. You're not challenging it. You're not having expectations about it or not about it. And I think that when we really stay in that mode of I need do nothing but know that the giver of all is bestowing upon me that which desires to be made known through me.
Beautiful.
You know? My son is amazing. I mean, I would ask him to call in tonight because we had a little conversation in the midpoint. You know, customers weren't there. And it was a friend of mine who I know for years, a girl that's a lovely, lovely lady. And my son's friend, Chris, who I call my son, who happens to have another mother. and then me and my son, and we're talking about personal responsibility. And Chris doesn't accept that completely, but my son was so eloquent in his expression of that he personally takes responsibility for everything in his life. Mm-hmm. And I was like blown away because he said it in a way that I couldn't have said it. He said it in such a logical, practical way, and I was like, oh my God. But again, that's just a mirror of all I am. You know, that's my, our children are our best teachers, and I know that with your kids, you've got that. You know, I love them. I feel like they're my kids. They are the most beautiful souls on the planet.
Thank
your
you.
Babies. And so I know you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
And it's just, it's the biggest gift that anyone can receive, is to have that reflection. And then my older son, you know, the same thing. You know, he's very practical about his approach of spirituality, and his boys know they are totally responsible for everything that they see in their world. And he doesn't let them prey upon the negative, you know. Anyway, so that's that. Do we have any callers?
Yeah, actually, we do have a caller here.
Okay.
We'll see if they want to talk.
All right.
Hold on a second. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I didn't realize I didn't press the button. It's Sabrina and my friend Wanda, and my son is in the car, actually. We're driving home. How are you?
Good, honey. How are you?
Good, good, good. It's been a little bit of time.
I know.
We were just smiling really big when you said your children are your biggest teachers, because they feel the same way, and I thank my son.
Yeah, they are.
The things he's taught me, amazing.
I know. We're so blessed to be parents. We're so blessed to have come into that reality and allowed that to be made known through us. Because there's no greater gift for me than to have these beautiful angels that, again, reflect the highest ideal within me, out pictured, you know?
Absolutely. And the fact that I feel like as we go on in life, we get hardened by the world and we forget where we're from. And, you know, these are our children from our loin. And it's almost like the age-old conversation where your teenage children know more than you? But in some regard, like letting go and living and, you know, being a child and having fun. Like, you know, we speak about being children of God, but then we forget to be children.
Yes.
And enjoy life and take a minute and, you know, not get harassed by worry and day-to-day activity.
I always share that the highest experience that I've had is when I had the awakening. And it had to be about 10 years of my life in time. And again, we're talking in a linear mindset right now, that I giggled constantly. And that, for me, was the highest expression that I could have ever imagined having, because that giggle was so real. It wasn't anything about, you know, attainment or anything about, you know, who's liking me, who's hating. It was just so real. And all I did was giggle. My whole life was giggling, you know?
Well, as you know, I had, you know, a tumultuous year, you know, and you always, you know, reminded me to smile. And that little bit, just to make myself smile, you know, always gave me that inner peace that's always there. It's just, we forget because, you know, we get, I don't know. I do believe there's spiritual warfare going on. I don't believe that the devil can conquer our hearts at all, even touch it. So, you know, we get manipulated by the devil and our negative thinking. And if we just sometimes remember to smile and giggle, you know, and that allows, like, the true heart to come out, you know? So that
we're still
with God's armor. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about love. So no matter who does you wrong or whatever, or what you've done, or guilt, or whatever it could be, you know, like the whole, you know, you don't understand. You know, I find that I'm helping people a lot. I let them speak to me about their problems because it's very important to let out what you're feeling that's driving these negative thoughts. But after a certain point, like Jordan had reminded me, honey, I don't want to hear it. Just filler. Be happy. It's a choice. Be happy. And the day he told me that, my son was getting hospitalized. I almost lost him that day. And, you know, when I went back in the hospital, I went, what the heck is wrong with Jordy? How could I be happy? And blah, blah, blah. You know, I started cracking jokes. And let me tell you, that time didn't just pass. But I made friends with those nurses that I'm going to encounter again. And, you know, and I didn't give anybody a hard time. And I made it an easier time on myself just by a mind switch, you know. I mean, it didn't change the situation. But
the most important thing, the one most important thing that you're sharing that I feel like I got to share is that if you really have the faith and the belief in a God that's infinite and that's the divine love nature, then to see anyone less than whole is to deny that you do have that connection to God.
Right.
You know? And so that's
right.
The best gift you can give, that which you desire, that you call your everything, your God, is to say, I have all the faith that you are with him as well, and her as well, and them as well. And to stay in higher space, you know, this warfare mindset is within. You know, and when you really understand that, you start realizing that the only place that you need to be is with God. And that means in the love nature. I mean, that's my interpretation. And you can, you know, do whatever you want with it. But you talk about Jordy, and it's really funny because, again, I got to visit him and meet him, which was a divine experience. I mean, I felt like I met my brother, you know.
I can't wait to be in a room together with you guys. That's going to be amazing.
And of course, I met you.
We'll make art and we'll talk about God, and it's going to be like just killer.
Well, I always thought that too, but when I met Jordy, I walk into Starbucks and, you know, I get these high heels on.
You met him at Starbucks, that's great. Starbucks, but it's like something's up with Starbucks.
I know, but he is huge. He's like 6'3". And I walk in, he's sitting down, and I swear to God that he didn't acknowledge me other than, Ananda, look at this. He had his iPad, like as if I had been there all along, you know. And then the next day we hung out, and it was like so amazing because I had friends with me, and they all, you know, dug him. It was really cool. But now he's doing a radio show. I mean, it's like he was. I feel like he's my child. He was a part of me.
I know. I have to actually call into that one of these days. I keep on missing it.
And I don't know if you know that, Iggy, but he was the one that used to do the show with me. Sometime I used to ask, he was okay. And then one time he interviewed me, and from there I used to say to him, Jordy, you have another level coming through, and it's about speaking, it's about writing, it's about connecting on that communication on another level. And then all of a sudden he's doing this show, and I got to tell you, I saw one episode, and it was, because he does it on YouTube also, and he is so clear. And when I met him, he was all about Satan and Jesus and God, and, you know, nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I think I helped him see that all that distinguishing of entity, concept, God, devil, whatever, was all just to keep him screwed up, you know, confused in conflict.
It's like the separatism point.
Right. So he went right to the heavenly space within himself, and I feel, you know, there's such a kinship, you know. You know, you three especially, Iggy, you and Jordy, I don't think that there's ever been a time that we weren't together, even though we didn't know we were in time, you know. Because as soon as I met you guys on the web, and then, you know, speaking on the phone, and then in person, there was no doubt that we just picked up where we, you know, left off. I mean, Iggy, did you feel that as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
And with Sabrina, forget about it, you know? And it is
I was
really
just telling Wanda right before you messaged me, because I've been so busy running around that I even forgot Thursday night, Wednesday night. I have no idea. And you had messaged me, but I was just telling her that crazy story about Lady Day and your reunion and how I was, like, crying when I saw that love in that room from the photos, and just very, what a wild ride. I mean, it's exquisite, even in the pain.
Yeah, and even in the pain. And my son said tonight, he said, in retrospect, when I look at everyone that betrayed me, because he had a lot of rough relationships, really handsome kid with a lot of young relationships, you know, really in love, living with women, older women, and them devastating him. And he said so much betrayal. I mean, I remember at one point it was Mother's Day and hear from him. He was working in L.A. and a guy held him up in the restaurant with a gun. This guy has had so much in his early life. This kid
right.
was pristine growing up, beautiful. Anyway, and he said, I look back in retrospect and everything that happened was so perfect because I am who I am. And everyone that I was with, I did what I needed to do, but they were not the ultimate fulfillment, for one, and also for my highest good. And
right.
now that I look at it, I see that it was all a school. It was all an education to get me to be where I am. And when, if we could really discern and start to detach ourselves from the actual experience of what's going on and realize that this is just a teaching. It's just an education, which I've said many times, but really allow yourself to become non-emotional about it and say, oh, my God, look at this gift, or look at this shit, or look at that joy, and realize that it's all placed for you to get something from it, to receive something from it. And if you get it, you're done with that. Then you're in the next. Because, again,
amen.
You know, this is...
Amen. That was the best thing all night. Amen. Hallelujah.
What'd you say?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Mm. Ananda, you with your New Yorkers again.
Yeah, New York. We're New York girls tonight. Hello to all you men out there. And
hello.
And
women.
Everybody.
And women. And we're spreading the word of love tonight. And
yeah,
love, and love the relationships, and the good and the bad ones, because exactly what you said, I reiterate what you said. Basically, we take what we get from the relationship, whether we learned something or we did have some kind of love or whatever it was. It wasn't meant. It was meant for that or whatever. Let go and move on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I needed to hear that tonight.
Let go and let live and...
I'm so glad that you were able to receive that, honey.
He's in a relationship right now. You know, I don't want to divulge stuff to her.
No, I don't want to talk about it. Terrific. Mm-hmm.
But
it's horrific.
The most important thing to realize is that you're only ever having a relationship with yourself. Even though it shows up in another body, that person's there just to validate your own feelings for yourself. And if
right.
it's I just recently, I think you guys must have seen it, I wrote on the internet that I've made a decision to let go of lies, to let go of betrayal, to let go of, and I didn't make it as if it was somewhere else. It was inside me.
Right. I mean, I think, like, this is what
we share. What do you mean somewhere else?
Well, like, if you feel like somebody hurt you, like they purposely did something to hurt you, like that problem actually is their problem. But when you accept it as your own problem, it's something that you're mirroring a hurt inside, and you're allowing that hurt to go inside you.
Yeah.
Like, you can take rejection and not, like, somebody could reject you and you could just move on.
Right.
Or you could dwell on that rejection, so that's the hurt in you.
But betrayal of over and over and lies, it was over and over. I dated basically a sociopath. I married and dated a socio-psychopath, not only mentally ill, but he had a severe drug addiction on top of it. So he was deemed mentally ill, chemically addicted. They call it a mica patient. And we got married, and we were changing his life. I realized what a severe drug addict he was. I didn't know he was so bad, but he was. Plus, he had mental illness. The bottom line is, he got a job through our church, and we were being blessed, right and left, as a peer counselor. A peer counselor, the government offers these jobs to mentally ill, chemically addicted people, and the government gives them a chance so they could, move back into society and get them working and functioning. So he got that job, and, of course, after he gets the job and he has to start paying bills, he had an affair on me, to make a long story short, and I took him back, I forgave him, he said he was dull, he's sorry, it was drugs, it was mental illness, it was this. P.S., he's done this to me over and over. I've tried to get a divorce for the past 4 years, and it keeps getting messed up. I don't want to get into it, but the bottom line is...
She feels strongholded by him.
I feel like I want this done, but financially I tried to get help and tried to do it, but then also on top of that, there's a financial problem.
he kept putting it off each time and saying, yeah, this. So now it's getting to the point he's living with some woman again.
And he's not really helping her with the divorce situation.
He wouldn't go away.
He feels that this divorce is going to free her. And I try to explain
All right,
her.
Let me stop you both right now, okay? When I'm counseling someone, after 5 minutes, they can't talk about anybody else. So, honey, why don't you tell me now why you think you're in that relationship still? Without him, don't use him at all. Why do you think you're in that relationship? Why do you think he can't let go of you and you can't let go of him?
I don't know.
All right, that's something that you may want to write about, journal about, because he's only with you because that's the way you feel about yourself. You're only in that relationship because something in you feels inadequate, insecure, whatever. And so when I work with anyone, I tell them, when you keep pointing at another, you become victim to that circumstance. You have to take your power back and say, this is about me now. Because if you really want it out, you walk away, no matter what is there. So something's keeping you tight.
I got a legal separation. I did get a legal separation. I'm trying to get a divorce.
Don't worry about a divorce. Just walk away.
Oh, that's what Sabrina told me. Okay, I'm glad.
I told her it's something that you decide to do. Like, it's just a piece of paper. You know what I mean?
Right. And it's a good way to stay in what you don't want to be. So I came to a realization. Let me just share this. This is very powerful. Most of my life, I've been very dissatisfied with men. I've never allowed myself really to be loved by a man. I had beautiful relationships, long-term, 3 very long-term relationships. And then the last one, which was a love affair, I finally did let somebody in. But never did I allow myself to feel that a man was equal to me. They always fell short. They always became inadequate. They always were not good enough.
That's what happened to me. It was the
last. Right. So I came to realize that the only reason I do that is so that I don't have to be in love. Because being in love with someone that's my equal is too scary. So I have to become that lover. I have to become the partner that I desire to be with. When I really can accept myself as that partner, the lover, the giver, the nurturer, the whatever, the romancer, when I could be that for me, then I walk in high esteem, and I'll meet him in reflection, or I won't, and it doesn't matter
anymore.
That's
how I am right now. That's the mindset I have right now. That I can say I truly have. So
all right.
I just
so then, there's no reason to discuss him ever again. Don't have to discuss him because you know now that you're in your own power.
Okay.
All right, so let go of the drama, cut the ties, doesn't serve you, let him be, God bless him, let him go.
Right, okay. Thank
you. Now work on you. Divorce yourself from that part of you that wants to be with him on whatever level and sees yourself as being betrayed, brutalized, whatever, rejected. Divorce yourself from that part of you. You don't need to divorce yourself from him. That's done. You're done with that relationship. Now you got to be done with that relationship in you. So that's what I say. We always have a relationship with ourselves. Iggy, do you want to add something to that?
You know what? You're absolutely right. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Ho'oponopono. You know, they always say if there's a problem, you're there, then you're part of the problem. So
yeah.
I agree with what you're saying. And you're also part of the solution as well. So the solution is people mirror back to you exactly what we want to see. And we also mirror back to them the things, the potentials that could happen. And the things that can
right.
that could actually be. So it depends what side of the mirror you want to be and what you want reflecting back at you. So it doesn't always have to be the negative side of things. It can also be the positive side of things.
Yeah. But I feel like you're ready, honey. I think that you are. And, you know, the drama is what we're raised to believe is a breath. We got to be dramatized. We got to be, oh, my God, when in reality that makes us a victim to circumstances. So when you take full responsibility, yeah, I created that for whatever friggin' reason. There must have been something wrong with my energy. Goodbye. Close the door and then allow God, which you really believe in, to open the next door. Because the doors that Joel Osteen always says, and I love it, a door that God opens, nobody can close.
Amen.
All right, so when you really allow God, because that's my whole life. Since I'm a little girl, I had this instinctive knowing that I would receive everything. And I had a connection that I didn't even understand. And my whole life I was gifted time and time again. And that's how this show started, with me saying, I need do nothing. When I tell you, I never had to work a day in my life. I was always provided for. My son says, you never, ever think about money. You're such a pain in the ass. But I love it, because he says, everybody's fanatical about money. You never think about it, because you just, it is whatever it is. I have it, and I always did. And I don't need much. I just need whatever I need. And it always is there, because I don't make anything my God. Because when you make anything your God, you die when it leaves you. You emotionally die. All
I feel that way
about
any obsession could become a God. You have to be very, when I read the Bible now and it speaks of false gods, I read that, do you know how I read that now? People who don't admit their faults, like flaws, or like they're higher than human. Like admitting that I'm a sinner is to say I'm human, I'm going to make mistakes, I want to learn from them, and I'm going to try my best not to hurt anybody, even though I can't help it because I'm human.
But the reality is God doesn't see us as human. He sees us as his child, the child of the Most High. You know, we got to stop playing it so damn small.
We should have humility to say I'm sorry and mean it.
But when you really know who you are humbled by it. You are humbled by the fact that you know your God, Lee, and so is your brother, and so is your sister, and so is that one, and so is that one. And you walk then as equals. You don't feel power over people, you know?
No.
So what I'm saying to you is that we got to stop dwelling on the lowly worm mindset. We have to not read that Bible like it's literal. It is a psychological book.
No, I don't, but that's what I mean. Now that I'm, enlightened by it, when I read about, you know, all right, when I used to read about it, false gods to me meant something other than the God of Israel, which isn't true.
God of Jacob.
False god is anything that takes us away from God, from our highest ideal. Anything.
Like my husband, I used to treat him because he was a rock star. I used to treat him like he was this old, you know, he used to write rock songs and... Like, he was my idol, you understand? So God didn't like that, too, because God even, I got convicted. Like, you're treating this person like he's a God, you know?
All right.
You're letting
but,
person
but
walk along.
My God does not judge. My God says, I love you no matter what you do. It's us that bring us down. We bring ourselves down. So all idols will fall and will weep every time they do, because we are being taken away from our highest idea. My only lover is my higher ideal, my God. That is my lover, my provider. He gives me everything I've ever wanted. Always did. So I don't look to go anywhere but with him. So if I go into a relationship, it is full. If I go into a job, it is full. And I'm provided for. You know, this kid was talking today, well, you know, some people get this. And I said, but some people don't. Some people get what they really feel they deserve, which is the highest. There are many people that don't even know poverty on any level, emotionally, physically, or mentally. You know, and when we really get that the only thing we ever need to do is remember our connection to heaven, that we are the children of the Most High. And the Course in Miracles says we are the light of the world, the heir to the kingdom of heaven. And the fact is, Jesus says, I am and you are, and you will do even more than me, because I had to show you guys that I could not be a victim. He had every reason to be a victim by what occurred. He could have saved himself, but you know what he said? I'm going to show you. This is all nonsense. I'm going to rise above every circumstance, and people are going to realize that it's not the body that counts. It's the spirit I am. The spirit I am. Follow my spirit, which is love. Stop bowing down to that cross. Stop bowing down to that body on the cross. Stand up. And be the light for me, because I can't be in the physical right now. You can. You can. Be my light and follow my way. you know? And so when I deal with Christians, and I deal with them all the time, and I say to them, so what would Jesus do? Well,
right.
I have to go to that doctor. Well, what would Jesus do? Would he say, you got to go to the doctor? No, he'd say, follow me. People still don't get it. I feel that I have tapped into that knowing, that I know that Jesus is the way, his way, the Christed way. He says, I am love, all about forgiveness, all about forgetting, forget whatever occurred, because you can't forgive unless you forget. And until you forget, you're going to be in agony about what occurred, doesn't matter
right.
what it was. So in every moment, we have to be born again, knowing that we know nothing in truth. And then the Holy Spirit comes and bestows upon us the idea, and we take hold of it. And then in the next moment, the steps we need to take. And the next moment, who we have to meet. And then the next step, what do we have to say? What are they going to say to us? We become children. We become childlike. We can't hear if we're not innocent. We can't. The virgin birth is me becoming Mary so that I can be given the Christ itself through me, and then I walk in truth. We're all the children of the Most High, not just one of us.
Amen
you know?
To that.
Amen.
So let's
yeah.
go
so
to the place of highness, the highness. We are your highness. Let's go there and walk as the light. And we see ourselves falling. We know that we're just being pulled into the web of misery. That's why I said in the thing I wrote, anything that reeks of insecurity, I will not allow in my life anymore. And if that's people I talk to and hang out with, goodbye. If that's
right.
me feeling my backache, get over it. If it's my father whining in the next room, I love you. I'm not, because I know what I've come through in this lifetime.
No, she's
the
right.
The pain, the suffering. What, honey?
I feel so much better and so much at peace, and I'm helping people. But when, like I said, when I allow them to converse, but after a while, it's just filler. Like, I can't explain it. And I end up feeling drained sometimes, and I end up going to the bad place that goes in me, and I don't want to do that anymore.
If you really know that person is one with God, and you say, oh, poor you, you're sick, you're actually cursing them, because God doesn't see them as sick. You do.
No,
you're enabling their inadequacy, because this man that came in today said, I was told 2 years ago that I had prostate cancer and that I would be dead in 3 months, and I would not accept it. I went to the highest part of me, and 3 months later I went to the doctor, and there was not one sign, and I had no medicine, no chemo, no nothing, and I am still no cancer in my body. Because something in him said, this is bullshit. I'm not accepting this. And when you really get that you have that power, when you let it go and let God, it's just amazing. So anything that burdens you, give it up. Give it up to God. If you believe it's God that's sitting on the mountain and praying for you or loving you or hating you, that's okay. Give it to him. He'll take care of it. You know, I know that the universal mind of God is so infinite that there is nothing that cannot be fixed in my reality. Nothing. And that's where I live. And I live a very, very quiet life, because not many in my perceptual reality can understand that or accept that. You know?
Right, but that's what I'm questioning, because here I am in Staten Island, and Wanda could validate. She's always telling me that I need a camera crew following me because my life is absurd. And I don't just speak about, you see, I speak about God, and then I speak about the G-man to certain people who don't necessarily believe. I mean, we're burying people left and right out here. Satan is, I'm sorry for bringing it up, but he's running around like he's got friggin' his own legs. Like, he's getting rambunctious.
All the kids are overdosing.
You're seeing victims. If you see victims, they will be victimized.
No, I'm not trying. I'm trying to paint the set for you to understand why we have so many proclaimed atheists out here. And the thing is, I could see in somebody's eyes, in everyone's eyes, spirit. There are some that are totally dark. I see no light. But I haven't seen that in a good long few years. I don't know what that's about. I mean, even Wanda's husband, I see light in his eyes. Whether or not he uses that light, that's a different story. So I'm talking to people and trying to help them realize that they are denying themselves the spirit that they are, and they're going
the
to...
The only one that denies themselves is you, because if you're seeing that, it's because there's a part of you that's denying it. You cannot... I finally had to take my sign down that said I'm a healer, because if I'm a healer, then I'm calling in sickness. So I finally said, you know what, there's nobody to fix but me. And what
but
does that mean?
I don't consider myself a healer. You see, this is where I understand. I totally understand what you mean. But like a friend of mine that I went to see, and Wanda could say, like, he was full blown, you know, I wouldn't even know how to say, like, getting attacked on his own. Like, I didn't, you know, not in, you know, he was really in rare form, and it was strange. And was it something in me or just something in him that why would I want to try to help him through? I don't know. I have
Iggy, you want to say anything to answer that or say anything about this?
Well, you know, that's the hardest part for people to wrap around their head, because, you know, the ego tries to defend and tries to prove constantly what, you know, that you're not responsible. It's them. It's not you. Sometimes we're just here also to observe, you know, and learn from others, to show us something that, you know, hey, these are potentialities that could occur. And you're right on them, that, you know, you know, if you take 100% responsibility for your own actions, you know, you're much more at peace. And I do that, you know, and right away, and apologize to myself, not to the person who's there in front of me or whatever, but, you know, acknowledge, say, you know, I love you, thank you, you know, I'm sorry, God bless. You know, you're sending it to a higher source, you know, and love is the higher source, and love actually conquers everything. You've heard that, the old saying, love conquers everything. We just see things in other people that, you know, that we just don't, sometimes we pick out those pieces, parts, because it triggers us. And then when it triggers us, is because there's something inside of us that we have to work on and something we have to deal on. And sometimes we don't want to face, but sometimes there's nothing there. It's just a reflection, you know, and sometimes that reflection.
Well, how about this? I had a kind of guttural life, and I find myself going back to people. I don't know how to. Well, can you?
Well, we teach.
I'm not looking to help myself, but I just have this. Maybe it's part of my life. I have this inclination to help people. I can't let somebody. If somebody reaches out to me at 3 a.m, I'm there. I just can't shut it off.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you teach people
so
how to do that.
So this is what I'm saying. When I'm around these.
But Iggy
people,
and I have done that our whole life. Iggy and I have done the same our whole life. So it's not anything new.
Like shutting the door on victim mentality. The reason why I brought that up is when I don't want to say a healing evangel. I don't know how to say keeping company, helping others. Like that, I don't see a reflection in at the time, but I could relate to a point where I could tell them, okay, you spoke about the filler, the blah, 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 because everybody's got blah, blah, blah. You could be talking about your grandfather, your dog, your back, whatever. It's filler. It's blah, blah, blah. The problems aren't going away. It's how we deal with them and why we're not feeling sufficient right now. And I get that now. And I'm talking, why I brought up darkness in people's eyes is most people I talk to do not think they believe in God, because I don't think they acknowledge what God truly is. They hide behind the lies and ploys of the church and religion and Catholicism and holy wars and all that to stay away from God. And I really believe that's a ploy from Satan.
All right, so I got to just stop you again, because I got to be true to myself.
Okay.
The most important thing that I was given from the one that I call my infinite love was when he said to me, Ananda, you teach this. There is no other. And it was the most profound wake-up call, because when I can really accept the fact that this is really a stage and everyone in my world is here to show me something that I don't want to look at myself. So when I really give that, all of that up and just say, let me take them all off the stage right now. What am I feeling? Those guys' eyes, what in me is bringing that in this reality? Because it always comes back to me. So I realize I have to fix me. I've got to correct the error in my own.
Right, this is the crazy thing
and
about me.
That's the concept of taking the eye, you know, the plank out of your own eye. You got to fix you. Forget about anybody else. Because if you're fixing them, you're being in on their stage. You're becoming subservient to their issues. And if you're going to believe that they are out there,
I'd agree with.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I remove everyone from my stage, what I saw was me dancing and happy, and that's what I have to work on because I think I have antisocial disorder. I'm going to be honest with you. So
but that's a label. Where are you going with that? There you go labeling yourself. What the hell is that?
I don't know what it is. Like, why do I feel like I'd be totally happy on the stage by myself, but then when people bring in their blah, 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 it takes away from that. That's what I'm facing, my own reality that I'm working on. How to do what I feel I need to do and stay true to myself and not let it affect me.
If you're dancing, you're going to find many pants people to dance with. If you're dancing and true to yourself, you're going to be dancing with many because you're then being authentically who you are, which is what God would have you be, and then everything is given you. Authenticity is the key.
But I do, and I usually am sitting in a room. If I'm sitting in a room, I'll get up and dance by myself. Wanda does that too, but on her own. She'll get up and start dancing and praising God, and, you know.
I went to a club last night after work with some lady, and there was a few other women there. And it was a fabulous jazz band, and, I mean, outrageous. And nobody got up. It was like The Walking Dead. I mean, I was in judgment, you know, and I just got up and danced until I didn't want to anymore. And then I left because nobody was dancing. I did what I wanted to do. My fun, and I left. So I wasn't going to beg anyone. I was going to say, you're bad for not dancing. Oh, why isn't? No, I did what I was truly there to do, was dance. Good night. Oh, this was wonderful. And it didn't matter who was there because it was all about me being who. True to me, authentically who I am. Iggy, is there any more callers?
Let me check real quick here. No.
All right. So anyway, Iggy, what else do you want to share, honey? Because I think that they got enough of me.
Oh.
The world got has enough of me.
Oh, there's never enough of you, right? Because really...
I feel the same way about you.
Yeah. Well, you're just another version of myself, and I like listening to my version.
The female version.
That's right.
Anyway, it's all a beautiful divine dance, and the truer that you are to you, and you'll know that because if everything around you is working, if you don't see this disoriented self outside there that needs help, you know you're good. Because only that's only showing you how good you are and how lost you are. You know? When Jesus was in a high ideal.
I didn't catch that. If somebody was outside needing my help, what was that? I didn't catch it.
I said that if you're true to yourself, you will know that. You will not see somebody out there that isn't. If you're really authentically in love and doing what's right for you in your personal dance, then you can't see the opposite. You can't see it. And if you start to see it, go back to your authentic self. What feels right to you, for you? What wants to be given you? What aren't you receiving that you're absolutely distracted by these parts of you outside that are disoriented? Because if you're sick, you're disoriented. If you're in pain on any level, you're disoriented. So if you're just seeing disoriented, that means you're not connected. You're not in focus. You're not in authentic self. It's such a gift to allow yourself to be given what is supposed to be yours, not possession, but just the essence of being that wants to wrap itself around you.
Hold that thought. You don't need another one that happens.
Yes.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. Okay, we're back.
Oh, that was cool. I really love that. Let me just put in a really quick ad for my Mac and Cheese 101 in downtown Stewart. It's the It's a tourist attraction. It's the hot spot of downtown Stewart. Everybody's digging it. It is amazing. So I just wanted to say that. And again, girls, I want to thank you for being here. I really love meeting your friend, Sabrina. She's an angel. She's on the cusp of great change. Great change is about to occur for her. And you need to follow her a little bit more than she needs to follow you right now. And Iggy, I love you.
Thank you. Good night. Be blessed.
And you are blessed, honey. Remember that. You are blessed. So I guess that's it. We have nothing more to say other than I hope that I get the momentum back to do the show because this is authentically me. I love doing this. And thank
absolutely.
You, Iggy, for inspiring me and encouraging me as you did and are doing always, whether you do it verbally or spiritually or psychically. I appreciate you guys so much. You're such beautiful angels. And I guess we'll say goodnight now.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Amanda.
Right. Remember, be the light of the world. Love you all.
Peace and love. Night.